to me, there are. I'd be nitpicky on the second one, so I'll go with what I think we agree is the lead story here, and this is whatever it is that is going on with Nick Foligno. So he drives the net off the rush, kind of a wrister. Jake Allen catches it, play stops. Foligno jams on the brakes right in front of the goaltender. It's a non-contact play, and he's kind of hunched over and limping off the ice. The Leafs are calling it an upper body injury. The way he reacted suggested it would be a lower body injury. I don't know whether upper or lower matters, Gord. It's just, is he okay? This is worrying.
Yeah, and, you know, did it happen, say, you know, 20 seconds before, as we try to analyze how he went to the net, was actually the play about 20 seconds, 30 seconds before, upper body-wise, and then he hung in there, you know, and just is hunched over and overcome with whatever. I don't know. But this is on a night where if Jenny Malkin came back, Tyler Seguin, even though Dallas doesn't look like they're going to make the playoffs. But, you know, that's the positive you want to get this time of the season. And you're right. This is the one X factor about any particular team is injuries at this point. So the one big disconcerting point you take out of it is the health of Nick Foligno, and let's hope it's nothing serious. I take it we'll find out a little bit more today.
At this point, when you have an injury to Foligno, you had Hyman go down, do you not think if you're Keith and Dubas right now to see if you can rest more players? I know they did it the other night. Do you think that's going to happen? I know we're not sure because of salary cap, right? It's not as easy as everyone says, oh, you just rest guys. But with the salary cap, it's very difficult in most organizations. But with the Leafs, I think they have some flexibility where they can sit some players out. Is that something you see them doing?
You know, we discussed it last time, Ziggy, and that, and you know, I would look at it more that because if anyone is banged up, that's a key word, you get a chance to do that. Veteran players, if you have back-to-backs and you want to give them off, I think you can roll four lines more. I think you can inject new players into the lineup a little bit more, which is something Sheldon Keefe is doing. But I would play those young guys all the time, maybe just a few less minutes because you're rolling the four lines. This is a team that's going to could have a week off after their season. Like you talk about, you know, practice time is at a premium now. It's an exhausting schedule, but because of the Vancouver situation, the Canadian division may start the playoffs later. So you're talking about those horrible games when guys take a week off to go to Florida. Now, at least they'll be practicing. So, I mean, you got a conundrum that way. So it's not like they're going to be fatigued hitting in the playoffs, and you never truly can avoid injuries. I know you can try to, you know, diminish the odds if you rest guys, but really, I wouldn't overthink it. I would just do some of those other measures.
You think the league will start the playoffs before the regular season ends? I know it's been talked about, right? Because I believe Vancouver plays on the Wednesday, is it not, the 19th, and the league should start the playoffs then. Do you see something like that happening where they start the play? Like if Vancouver and Calgary are out, the league starts the North Division while the regular season is still playing. Is that a smart move?
you know, you're right. No, it sounds absurd, but because otherwise it's absurd that these two teams are going to play meaningless games, and the other teams are going to wait around to start the playoffs. But in a lot of ways, if you're starting the playoffs, are you diminishing the integrity of those regular season games? I just wish Vancouver could phone. Their owner could phone Gary Bettman and just say one word, uncle. And he would go, yeah, you know what? You know, it's not about revenues of the players. We talked about the incredible burden they're having of the load right now. And why don't you just end it, say you went by winning percentage because it's not going to change things. Although, if Winnipeg, Montreal, they wouldn't factor in. If they do all 56 games, then you would have a pure season as far as that goes, jockeying for playoff positions. But Ziggy, I'm giving like the worst case scenario. That's not fun if they're gonna have to wait it out. Again, it's not been determined, but that's not a good scenario for whoever's playing in the Canadian division.
Well, the last time the Vancouver Canucks play a playoff bound team, it'll be the Oilers on Saturday, May 15th. The Leafs play Winnipeg the night before in the rejig schedule, if I'm not mistaken. So the 15th would be the Oilers' last game, and then they've got three games Vancouver does against the Flames after that. And really, it's who cares? Like, Vancouver's at 46 games played. which means they max out at 20 points gained if they go 10-0, which would get them to 61. Well, Winnipeg and Montreal have 57 points each right now, tied for third. So they're 3-4. Like, this ain't happening. So I think the league could start right now to figure out whatever the schedule is going to be, because it's Toronto, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Montreal in whatever order for the playoffs. We know who the four playoff teams are. The math has not formally confirmed it from a Winnipeg-Montreal perspective, but it's going to happen. So, I mean, I'd get on it now. I trust that the league is.
Yeah, and you know, Scott, common sense really has prevailed by and large in making decisions throughout the COVID era, difficult decisions and you know, well thought out decisions. And so about a week ago, when Calgary looked like they still had a pretty decent chance before this past weekend, I mean, that was the scenario. That was the understanding. You're going to have some time off if you're one of the other Canadian teams to let that series finish out. But I hope and I trust, even though it'll be weird if you're Calgary, Vancouver, why are you playing three games? Talk about injury. To get hurt in one of those three, right?
Three games in four nights. I think it's Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday or something like that the following week.
Yeah. But
what are you going to do? Here's my take. It has gone ignored for a few reasons, not the least of which it's clear now the Leafs are going to win the division, and they still came away with a point last night. But if last night, Gord, was a playoff game that the Leafs were leading by a goal with less than a minute to go in the third period, the Toronto Maple Leafs goaltender cannot allow a goal like the one Philip Deneau scored.
Yeah, there's the glass half full, the glass half empty. I concur on the half empty part. On the half full part, I thought Jack Campbell's played well the last couple of games. But to your point, Scott, that's exactly what's happened in the playoffs. Just that goal that you shouldn't allow. Like, the weirdest goal Freddie Anderson ever allowed was the last game seven against Boston, you know, the impossible angle goal. So, you know, so to your point, I would agree. You would hope. Who would expect a 2-on-0? Like, Matthews, Marner, no, you take it. A 2-on-0 in overtime, they don't score. When Austin Matthews, anytime he touches the puck or a tenth of the puck, he seems to put it in. But I would agree with you there. Again, these games I don't worry about. I think the Leafs made a good statement after going to Vancouver, which they needed to make before heading into the playoffs. And I like the trajectory where they are right now heading into the playoffs overall when you look at things in the big picture.
Something that stuck out to me yesterday was 4.5 minutes of power play time for Sandin and 1.5 minutes for Riley. So Sandin takes his spot on the power play. How did you think he did at the top there? And do you see him kind of, I know that we're going to talk a lot about it leading up to the playoffs. Is he going to be one of the top six on the back end for the Leafs?
Well, I think by default, because of Bogosian probably being out the start, he will. Even after that, it'd be kind of interesting. I mean, that's been a very encouraging part to see how Rasmus Sandin has played. I love coming on with you guys, and it's been a lot of time that I keep saying I'm not worried about the power play. It'll work itself out, and now here we are getting close to the end of the regular season, and it's a little bit better than how bad it was a couple of weeks ago. So, it's all about options. Like, I think it's all about options for Sheldon Keefe, whether it's third, fourth line, you know, different pair, different skill sets, different players, different ways you can use them, and that includes the power play. So I think it's been encouraging what Sandin's done. He hasn't been a difference maker that way, but obviously it's something Sheldon Keefe is trying to figure out what exactly is the best mix right now, and especially in the playoffs.
Both are impressive, so answering one over the other does not diminish the other's accomplishment. But Austin scores number 39 last night, so he is well on his way at some point here between now and the end of the regular season to scoring 40. And he would max out at 52 games scored. So it's 40 in 52. Connor McDavid, 2 goals, 2 assists, 4 more points last night in the Oilers win. He's got 91 points in 50 games. Does the point total or Austin's goal scoring run impress you more?
I'll take Austin Matthews for 100, Scott. That is it. That is, and again, I'm glad you said, because you're not diminishing anyone else's accomplishment. I just think, I mean, Connor McDavid right now is just on a different planet. He is a lot like Wayne Gretzky was decades ago when he would get 200 plus points and the second leading guy would get like 130. That's a big thing people forget. It's not like the second leading scorer was like 5 points behind Wayne Gretzky. I just think given about the pressures about getting to the next level, the Toronto Maple Leafs and Austin Matthews bringing his game after battling Pasternak and Obi for the Rocket Richard last year, then making a statement this year that, you know what, this trophy's mine. I'm the best goal scorer, and you know, and I give a little bit more cachet to goals versus assists. So that, so to me, in these two incredible accomplishments, potential accomplishments in this schedule shortened year, I would go with Austin Matthews.